So what up, you guys? Welcome to the podcast today. Today we have Kayla Lerma today on our podcast, and we'll be talking about building a personal brand. So I guess my first question for you, Kayla, would be what got you into building your own personal brand or like just branding in general?
Yeah, I think, well, it's funny because I went to school to graphic design, and I hated doing logos.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like them because it required a lot of like thought process, and I was just all about the flyers and working with that. But then I found that branding, it was like a much more like valuable and like not more valuable, but like it was just more. It had more elements to it, and then I started like researching about it and learning how, it's like a whole composition that builds the personality of a brand. And so I started researching more and decided that that's what I wanted to do. And in terms of like a personal brand, for me, it was just kind of like natural, like intuition. I just kind of showed up and then started learning that it was like, what is personal brand and this and that. So it was more intuitive, more natural. It wasn't like a decision I made at the beginning, but it is a constant decision that I make forward now that I know that this is what I like to do.
And as far as like coming over that fear of like not like hating logos, I can agree with that in my personal opinion, because I don't want to say I hate logos because that's bad as to say it as a brand designer in my opinion. But like, how did you like come, did you come over that, or do you still feel like, oh my gosh, logos still get on my nerves when I like design logos?
Well, I think the reason I hated them is because I didn't know strategy and I didn't know how to make a meaningful design. So for me, it was just like, oh, what looks pretty? And it often just fell short. And I don't like falling short of like things I do. So for me, it was easier to do the flyers. But then, I love creating things and just the thought process and the meaning of a logo started to be more attractive, which meant I had to learn more about, how to create it in a meaningful way. I feel like another thing that I didn't like is because I feel like all logos were already created. I feel like there's
Yes.
nothing unique. Yeah, it's nothing I can come up with. But then again, with strategy and like all the intention, I feel like that you can put behind a design, you can create something unique because not every brand is the same.
Far as like time management too, how do you go about doing that as far as like managing your time with like client work? I feel like that's kind of a struggle for me with trying to figure out, even like when I don't have clients, trying to figure out the difference of like, you know, how you're trying to like promote your products, but then you're also trying to build creative work, trying to balance that out at the same time. Like, what is your like strategy on that?
Yeah, I think it's I'm always learning with that too. I feel when you're a freelancer, there's a lot of different times and like seasons in your business. So like it's not always the same. So I try to keep something consistent throughout my, my days, like a morning routine or a nighttime routine. And then strategies for like actually getting things done is like preparing a day before, like just in the morning, and setting times where I'm like dedicated to this task because it's easier to like have your email open and then start working on something on the side and then be distracted by it. And I feel like I don't give my all if I'm like constantly looking at my email. So setting those times, timers are so cool. Like you just put it on and say, hey, I'm just gonna work this for 1 hour, and then you get it done, and then you realize you got more done in that hour that you planned to. So tracking all of that also has helped me because then I know, okay, last time I took this amount of time on it. And then by the next time I'm like, okay, I can already like plan it and I can already foresee it in my schedule. Because sometimes things you're like, I don't know long I'm gonna take. But if you hit that log and like you kind of have a like a understanding of how much. And yeah, so just like going with the flow, sometimes a strict schedule doesn't work for me. I have to have those strategies of like the timer and like the blocking of the
Oh yeah,
time.
time blocking is my
Yeah.
jam.
Yeah. So basically all of that and seeing what needs to be done that day. I struggle with prioritizing on my own business because I'm like client work first. So I do try to at least if I'm busy with work, take one day to do things for my business so that I have that week done something for that, for my business.
Oh, okay. And like, yeah, I can kind of relate to that too. Like, I feel like something that I've been also doing that's been helping me is doing this thing. I do like a self-reflect on my week. And I don't know why this strategy has been helping me a lot, because it's making me see like it's kind of like grading yourself in a way, even though you shouldn't like put yourself down, but it's saying like, what did I do this week that was good? What is something that I can improve on for like next week and the weeks coming? And like, what are some to-dos that I can do? I feel like that's been helpful too, even like as a personal creator, just because I'm trying to like always balance multiple things. And especially too, like running your own business is hard, and people don't mention this. Like you know how you have to wear every single hat. You're not just like, you're like admin and like time management, and then you're also like business planner, finance. You're the whole like thing. And in my opinion too, like, what made you want to sacrifice or taking the risk on doing all of that, and not just like going the traditional route of like, oh, I want to be like, oh, I just want to do like a 9 to 5.
Well, I think with this, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I wanted to work by myself, but touching on that, like, about wearing all the hats too, I always knew that I wanted to work for myself. My dad's a business owner. He works for himself too sometimes, like in the past as well. He had his own business. So that was kind of maybe my DNA to do as well. But also, I do like the connection that I get to give with my clients. I feel like before, where I used to have my internship at school, like my teacher was a middleman. Like she would talk to the client and us and kind of direct that way, and she would manage everything. And for me, I had to, there was like that connection missing from the client. And in the future, like that internship was amazing, and I learned a lot from it. But in the future, I did know that I wanted to connect with my clients and talk to them when we talk about feedback, and then yeah, don't have like someone in the middle kind of like managing. And also, like, I wanted to be able to like learn all the like pieces about creating a business as well, so that I can relate to my clients, because I mean, they're going through the same thing, right? They're thinking about marketing and sales and like time management and things like that. So that's just another way of connecting with them, I guess.
And as far as like the type of clients that you take, like, I know you were mentioning to me personally that you take on, like, you love woman-owned businesses, but when it comes to seeking out your, like, finding your niche, as many people call it, or like trying to figure out what type of clients you want to work with, like, how were you able to manage figuring that out, or like, what inspired you to like be or work with those certain type of clients?
Yeah, so I feel like a niche can be different things. It can be, you know, like a demographic, or it can be a type of person, or it can be a type of industry. For me, like my priority was women-owned businesses, because like I was telling you, I feel like I connect more with women, and I feel like we trust each other, we respect each other more, and I feel like there's a little bit of like friction when with like men. So that's why I gravitate towards women-owned businesses. When it comes to like industry, I was not super specific. I love food products like pets and children, something very wholesome. But most of all, it's like the vibe I get from the business owner, like in our calls and things like that. If I feel like we click, I feel like it's going to be a good project.
I feel like that also is kind of making me realize the type of projects that I like to work on personally, or even like the type of clients. Like, I get more excited for the work when I have a more like, narrowed like sector of where I want to work in, or the type of clients that I want to work in. You know, everybody wants to know this all the time whenever they try to talk about like building their brand or building their business. Like, how do you find clients, or do you do like a traditional networking thing? Especially when you first started out, I feel like that's kind of the hardest for me, in my opinion too, just trying to like reach out to clients. You know, that imposter syndrome too can kind of get to me as well, just trying to figure out like, okay, am I worthy enough to get a client that is very like in something that I really want to do, or am I able to solve these problems that they're having at the same time, you know?
Yeah, similar feelings I had at the beginning, sometimes even now, like imposter syndrome is really real.
Yes.
But to answer your question about how I get clients and how I used to, it has been Instagram for a while. I've been trying to diversify that, because you know we can't, you know, just rely on one single platform. But let's speak on what I do know, Instagram. At the beginning, you know, I didn't have a big following, and so I put a lot of effort on like looking up for businesses and like liking their stuff, interacting with them, connecting with them. That's how I got my first client. And yeah, it was just, you know, I guess making the decision to head on and like and do the best that you can, and also allow yourself to be like, you know, I can figure it out, even if, you know, like just trust that you will be able to figure it out, and then you have the resources and that you will be able to like provide a good value for them. And then, you know, as time went by and the clients like, oh, I love this, and then they feel like they got value from it, then your confidence also starts like coming with you. And yeah, then I started creating more content, and then clients started to reach out to me, and I didn't go first. So that's kind of how I got them. Reels were a big part of it, because obviously it reaches outside of your following, it reaches so many people. I try to create work and that would attract the same kind of like type of businesses that I was looking to work with, and also creating some sort of videos that would feel like, you know, desirable in a way, like, oh, I would like my brand to look like that. So yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at. I do want to diversify it and create other forms of marketing, and that's what I'm working on. But Instagram has been such a tool for me to attract those clients.
And as far as like even the question with like content creation too, as far as like content creation, like I don't want to go in too in depth, like be like, what's your whole setup? But as far as like your inspiration or like the type of content that you come up with.
Yeah, I think at the beginning, well, obviously it's like super scary to post your work. My biggest fear was like somebody was gonna take my work and sell it as their own or something.
Yeah.
But I think I did, I mean, I had to do it scared, you know, like, let's see how it goes. If everything falls on me, then may fall on me. I mean, because that fear was kind of like holding me back from showing myself, or like, you know, and it wasn't like immediate, it was gradual. I started just posting stills and like no videos, and then, you know, like I participated in some challenges, but I didn't show my face.
Yes, it's
And
me.
yep, it's hard.
It really
you
is.
Don't know what to say, and then you sound so awkward at the beginning. Like I watch my videos, and I'm like, who is that? But with practice, you start to be able to show up as yourself more often, and I feel like that's what a personal brand is so important, because then they see you, they connect with you, they trust you. And, you know, when talking about content creation and Instagram is such a, like, it's a platform for people. Like, if you see big brands, they're commenting on funny videos as if, you know, they're a person. Like, they want to be, they have a human connection so bad, because they don't want to seem like a corporation. So we have that advantage that we are a personal brand. So we connect with people, and people are like tired of being sold to. So if we get to talk to them like we're their friends, and like we're here to support them, and we genuinely like what they do, then they'll be able to trust us in that level of like, oh, this person can help me with that with my business, you know. So content creation wise, like I there's a lot of ways, you know, like I try to pay attention to trends, but also trying to put my own like twist to it. I try to show my face, my work in a way that I find it entertaining. And I'm still learning, you know. I want to create more valuable content for my potential clients, and like, you know, speak on my expertise and you know, go outside of like just entertainment, but like provide more value. But so far I feel like that's it, like connecting and like showing up authentically, like yourself, little by little, you know. It's okay if it's not like at the beginning, but that's kind of like what I try to focus on most.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because I'm trying to also do things. Even me, I have my own podcast, and I don't like to listen to my own voice when I edit this. When I go back and listen, I'm just like, who is this? You know what I'm saying? I'm just, I
can't
just,
relate.
You know, but I do think it is a part of like coming out your comfort zone, you know, like taking risk. But like, I am starting to notice more about like that human connection. And I'm starting to notice like that fiend for that more. Cause like we as designers or like as creatives, like, you know, we attract to people, and we are more like connected in a way when it comes to showing our art, when we, you know, gravitate towards people, in my opinion, or we're always inspired by something. But I think that's kind of what I'm still trying to learn. Like, you know, just understanding me as a person and how can I progress that in like teaching people or like educating people. And I feel like people are more connected to that than promoting yourself as like, oh, like this is like, even when people have studios too, there's like one studio called Mother, and they all represented like had pictures of their mothers, like even on the their own page. But
yeah.
Like, I feel like that still has that personal touch to it. And I feel like a lot of people should do that. So how do you feel about like having designers? Like, I don't know. I feel like, cause that's my personal thing too. Like, I feel like my goal is to teach designers that they should have their own personal brand aside from like working in like a corporation or like in a studio, like to still have that personal brand themselves. Because
Yeah.
even as a designer, like that's how you attract certain people or certain clients or anything like that, you know?
You know, it's all about what goals you have. Because we as creative, there's, I think we can relate. There's so many things that we like to do. If I could, I would sell patterns and have them printed on fabric. Like that's a dream of mine. So I think we all have different like passions within that. So you know, showing up online and being seen, you know, as your own, as a designer, but while at the same time building a studio or working at an already established studio, like I think it's valuable to have that because you're able to expand it to different venues that you'll be able to have in the future, and you already have like a track record of yourself in the internet, so you'll be able to like you know, build that community that maybe you will be able to invest on you if you have another venture, design wise, art wise, merch,
That's
you
what
know,
I'm
like
saying.
or education, you know, too, and like things like that. So I think it's valuable if that's within your goals, you know, long term goals and where you see yourself in the future.
And also like the like as far as like even investing in your future, like how do you feel about that as well too? Because like, you know, there's so many, like I went to design school, but I still try to like, I'm very different from like other like students at my school. A lot of students are like, you know, I want to get a job, I want to get a 9-to-5. But me too, I was like, well, I still have dreams of like owning my own studio or having even having my little shop. So I can really relate to the patterns idea, because just having your work, we are so in this like digital world that I
Yeah.
was starting to think to myself, I'm like, dang, like I don't have nothing. Like when I just have everything virtual, it feels like I'm making nothing. So when you have something physical, but we'll go into
Yeah.
that later. We'll go into that later. But as far as like investing in your education though, right? Or like learning about different things like strategy and other things like that, like how did you go about that on your journey?
Yeah, I love this subject because, you know, with working for women, I also like investing in women. So that's a fun topic too, because like to be real, at the beginning, I was just like, I can figure it out on my own. I can just go to YouTube and like have all the answers there. But I did realize that there was just a lot of time that I was investing on that, and I wasn't designing or I wasn't doing other things. So, and also like imposter syndrome, I never felt like I learned enough, you know? And I've always been a good student. Like I've always been, that's my favorite probably role of my life, because I'm a people pleaser and I just love like finishing assignments and, you know, learning in a set in a, yeah, in a system, in a space where there's like a rubric and then you can follow. Like that's so fun for me. But so basically I started seeing that I needed somebody else like to guide me. And at first, when I first started, like this was like 2022, 21, 22, I found a course. And it took you to the process of this designer from like, you know, the beginning to the end on the client process, doing design and strategy and like client onboarding and offboarding. So I took that course. It's called Branding with Brie, but she, I
I was
think
about to
she's
say,
taking it
what's
down.
the course?
Yeah, she's taking it down this year though, but it's Branding with Brie and it's Rowan Made, the Instagram. That was such a lovely course to have because like it had those lessons. The way she taught was like really good for me because she went like slow with everything and I just loved it. Later on, like actually this beginning of this year, I invested in a coaching program. We touched based on that process as well, but even deeper, and also with my coach, Liz from Hilo Designs. And the coaching program is called Design for This. So she took us through like everything regarding like sales and like finding your positioning and, you know, having like from the beginning, you know, finding your positioning and then like crafting your offers. And then we worked on time management and mindset and just so many things. And then she was always there, and that helped a lot because again, like I want to focus on my clients. I want to focus on, you know, all the things that I can do, like marketing and this and that, but having somebody to like guide me through that and like teach me, it was so valuable. And then next I will be investing. Well, I'm already in the process with a copywriter because that's such a talented thing. Like I admire copywriters because I cannot write for my life.
Girl, I get it.
Yeah, I can if I sit down, but it's nothing compared to like writers.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I don't want to say I'm cheating, but sometimes when I write like content ideas, I'll hit that chat, not ChatGPT. I like Notion AI better, in my opinion. Yeah. But we're not gonna talk about AI. but no, like I can understand that. But that seems like a whole like good milestone too. And I think that's something that's very important for us to understand too. Because like even though I finished school, I'm still in a process where I'm like, I still feel like I haven't learned anything yet, or I still feel like I have so much to learn. I remember reading a book and it was mentioning how like we as designers always learning, like there's never a way for us to stop learning. And I think that's also very important too. And the fact that you like invest in your education, you got courses out. I think also like it's important to have things out there that are also talking about the business of design, not just design itself. But as far as the idea of planning, right? Because at the same time, I love to do that too. But my problem is that I plan more. And that problem that you were mentioning too, it's like you were so caught up in trying to learn more and like understand more. I feel like I'm in that step right now. Like I feel like I plan so much more than I actually do. So how do you get yourself out of that rut?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like especially at the beginning, I went through that a lot. And I mean, there's always, like you said, we're always learning. And one thing that really struck to me is that, you know, there's some things that you won't know until you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like once you can't prepare for everything, like you focus on, you know, education and knowing the basis of things. And then you start working with clients and then you realize, hey, like, I don't know, client experience happens. And then you're like, okay, how do I deal with it? Like, I could never have foreseen that this was going to happen to me. And then that's when you, you know, you do your research and take a chance to assess that. And then now you have that knowledge. And then, you know, if it happens again, you already know that, but you wouldn't be able to prepare for that because you wouldn't know that was going to happen to you. So I think investing is so important. Education is so important. But at the end of the day, you know, there's some things that you learn on the go. And also, yeah, you never know what you don't know. And planning sometimes is kind of like procrastination in a way.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Heard that somewhere. Yeah. And it's like, you will never going to be perfect, you know, and only if we refine. And the only way you refine is if you put yourself out there, you know, slowly. I advocate for slowly because, yeah, I always hear like, oh, you gotta do it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's like just do one thing, you know, like one thing, you know, taking that one step, eventually it will bring that traction.
That's actually true. So I guess my next question, in the reins of, you know, talking about your struggles, what would you say you struggle with as a creative?
Oh, that's a good question. I go back to like imposter syndrome. I feel like, you know, it's mindset, addressing your mindset is an ongoing thing. So every time I'm struggling, it goes back to that, my mindset and imposter syndrome. So when it comes to, you know, marketing myself and showing up online, it feels like very overwhelming because I'm like, am I even, you know, should I even come here and talk about this topic or talk about personal brands in this podcast? You know, like it's always that's holding me back in making every decision or every, yeah, intention, like draining your energy because then you're worrying so much. I'm worrying so much about like, what are people going to say? Or like, yeah, I can't do this. What if I mess up? Like all these kinds of things. When in the first place, what got me here is making those decisions against those voices in my head saying, you're not good enough. You shouldn't do this. Definitely imposter syndrome is one of my biggest struggles. I talked to you about my following now and how different that was last time. Like, so when I first started, it was very nice because it was a small amount of followers. And that was, I knew who was liking, I knew who was commenting, like, you know, we were supporting each other. It was mostly designers, and it was just very nice, very like community and connecting. And then one reel blew up. I continue making reels, you know, that addiction is like, oh, more, more, more.
That real
And
addiction is real.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So and that built my following now, but then suddenly I felt so disconnected. Like, I was like, I don't know who these people are. Like, I can't keep track of everybody who's sending messages or liking or commenting, which, you know, it's a good problem to have. You know, you have, you know, attraction and things like that. But also it just made me build my imposter syndrome. You know, like suddenly I was holding this big plate and I just didn't know how to like keep on. You know, it was easier for me now to not go on Instagram, not post, because then mentally I'm like not weighted by like the thought of showing up, but then you have to show up. So it's ongoing, you know, like it's something you have to work with. Like I have to work with imposter syndrome every day. And then it's all about also like feeding yourself with evidence that you can do this. Like you were saying that you like at the end, you reflect at the end of the week, you reflect. And that's so good because you're telling your brain that you are capable of the things that you did that week. And your brain stores it. And it's next time, you know, you're feeling some type of way with imposter syndrome, you're like, you know what? Remember that one time that we journaled? Like, remember that one time that we did that? And then your brain, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, true. And then it helps with that. So I think imposter syndrome is the biggest one.
Oh, yeah.
Biggest struggle. Yeah.
Well, no fear, because so many, I feel like recording this podcast has helped me so much because so many people deal with the same problems I do. But
Yeah.
As far as like going about that, like how have you gone about that as far as like just getting rid of, well, not getting rid of it, because you can't, I'm gonna be honest, like so many people just can't get rid of it. Even when you like, even as you grow to, like you mentioned, like even when you grow or when you go into a next step or like you go into new phases of your life, you still feel like, okay, like am I capable of doing this? Or you, it's like you always have to question yourself. But how have you combat that as far as like trying to ease up a little bit of as far as imposter syndrome?
Yeah, so different ways. One of the ways is like talking to people, like even whether that's my mom or my coach, you know, like, and I feel like they have fresh perspectives when I'm stuck in my own thinking. So that's good. Journaling as well.
You journal
going
too.
back, yes, that's super good because then you're dumping it all in a page and allowing space in your mind for new things. And another thing is, going back and seeing where I was before, because we're always learning and we're always growing and we lose track of that. Perspective is such a big thing. So like changing your perspective by talking to other people, by looking at yourself in the past. What I do is I go to my archived like Instagram stories and see that and remember myself at that and think, you know, like, you know, she went for it. And I know all this stuff because I went for it when I was in the past. So just knowing that confidence is there and I'm able to reach it, I just need to, you know, change my perspective and take that one step that I can in the moment.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also think like even looking at your past too is like kind of important too, because you get so focused on like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? But you don't look back on like, oh, okay, I've grown so much. we really put so much pressures on ourselves as like creatives and designers. And it's like, we don't realize like, bro, you have grown so much. Have you seen your archive? Like go back in your archive and look at your work before and you'll see something different, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's like, there's space for everything. There's space for growth and change, and there's also space for resting and reflecting. And that's so important to growth as well, because like you said, it's important to celebrate the wins, the small wins, the big wins. It helps you grow.
It really does. And as far as journaling too, what got you into that? Because like I journal too, so I feel like this is a secret that we like spread now, because like journaling, I don't know what it is, the way I journal, like I do just like write it out. It's for me to like just get all my mental thoughts just out on paper and to close it, just let it go. But like, how do you like journal? What's your process on that too? Because that's interesting to me.
Same. I don't know when it started. I feel like when I was little, I would just write, you know, I had a lot of thoughts since I was little. So I feel like putting them down is always good to like, again, have that space in your mind and just like let it go. So I've just carried it. I'm not super constant with it. I sometimes when I'm like really overwhelmed,
Oh, yeah.
that's whenever I'm like, I have to sit down and like write. Like I have to, because yeah, it helps like just put it all on paper and the perspective too, you know. I don't know about you, but I don't like reading back. I feel like I don't like
No.
it's like, you know, it was said, it was done. I don't need to go back. Sometimes if I am reflecting and I can remember what specific thing I want to reflect, then I'll go back, but I cannot sit down and read it. It's painful.
Yeah, I can't sit. Like, that whole book is just filled with craziness. Like, I just
Yeah.
can't sit and read it. I am a real person because I took a journaling class in school. It was so dumb. And she was asking us, like, how do you know, if you do have a journal, how do you write in it? And do you ever read it? And I didn't realize. I was like, dang, I never read that thing. Like, I don't want to touch it. That thing is in the past. But look at us. We're sitting here, we're talking about we're not copywriters, but we've been writing since we were kids. Like,
I
isn't that
know.
funny? There you go, another imposter syndrome moment. Like, oh, but that's funny.
I feel like I do this all the time. I see other people on Instagram or anywhere. I always just make up in my mind a whole story about them. You know,
Oh, yeah.
I think about them and like, oh, sure thing. They probably wake up and they look perfect. They probably wake up and they're like productive and all throughout they have perfect energy. Like I start creating all these like stories of people and then re don't realize that there's feeling the same thing that I'm feeling, going through the same thing. And yeah, so I think it's important to talk about, you know, your struggles and things like that so that other people can see that they're able to do it as well.
And that's kind of funny too. You're talking about stories, right? You do whole branding. Like, that's basically storytelling in itself. And I think
Yeah.
that kind of like all circles back to like what you want to do. So that's actually perfect there. But as
Yeah.
far as like any questions.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just encouraging. I like encouraging because I like to be the encouragement that I want to have, if that makes any sense. So, you know, to anybody listening or anything, it's just like trust that you're able to create the workspace that you want to create, whether that's a personal brand, whether that's working at an agency, like just trust that you are capable of creating that and capable of like starting that dream that you have, you know, like I feel like it's so complicated at the beginning because we think of all the what ifs, but like at the end of the day, no matter what we do, there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be something. And then, you know, if you want something big, if you want something good, there's going to be a level of risk with that. And obviously taking calculated risks, like if however you approach things more, but there's always have to be that kind of like making a decision and moving forward. To be able to reach those goals, and then you're capable of it. You have the resources, you know, and take your time. Like, don't push it for tomorrow. Those success stories of like, in a year, I build up my business here, and I'm sure it works for people, but it doesn't have to be the norm. Like, there's room for slow burn businesses. I feel like, in a way, I'm that. I feel like I'm nowhere where I want to be, but there's room for that. We don't have to be keeping up at the pace of everybody else. We write our own journey. We write, you know, our own boundaries. So, you know, not comparing to other people and yeah. You asked how can one measure the success of their personal brand? And that's a topic that I wanted to say is like how success looks different for everybody. You know,
Oh,
the most
yeah.
common is like, oh, a number of followers or a number of income. I feel like those are the biggest like numbers. Numbers is like the biggest way to calculate success. But also know that, you know, you can have all the followers, you can have all the money and still not have a sustainable, healthy, enjoyable life. Like your success is going to be how do you live your day-to-day of life? You know, like are you happy with the work you're doing every day? Like, are you excited? Are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you having this in a sustained way that you know, have your rest and have your time with, you know, your loved ones and also take care of your body and also do the things that you love? Like, if that's there, but you don't have a million followers or $1 million to spend, I feel like that's success.
You know,
So.
I think that's actually beautiful. Just because me for so long, I'm gonna be honest, like I kind of felt that. I still kind of feel that sometimes, but like now I'm starting to realize like, you know, growth takes time. But it was always like, damn, I don't have like 1,000 followers, or damn, I'll have like I'm not making 2K a project, like certain, like where I would want to be, you know? And I always put pressure on myself to try to reach that. But it's like the more I put pressure on myself on trying to think of the number, I wasn't like, I wasn't happy. I wasn't like building the work I wanted to build. So I'm sitting back and I'm trying to like reevaluate myself. Like, what are some things I do actually want to work on that I would actually enjoy doing every day, no matter what? And then also like that importance of like taking care of yourself is real. Like so many people don't mention like, you know, not getting enough sleep, not being able to like even take showers too. Like you'd be surprised. Some people are stinky and it's gross. But it's like you have to really take care of yourself, or like eating correctly.
Yeah, and also moving. Like, I'm not a gym person. I don't do a lot of like exercises, but I like to do some yoga stretches or like walking if it's not super burning hot outside, like right now.
Oh yeah.
Texas.
Yes.
But so yeah, like just move, like that's an important thing. Cause same, like I wanted to reach a certain amount every month and things like that, but like I also need space for me. Like, especially if you're running your own personal brand and like, you know, you can't do everything. So whether that's delegating or like seeking out those investments and like, like having that, those moves and those decisions that allow space for you to be healthy.
Oh yeah, I think that's very true. Like just being healthy, just getting yourself together. Like I'm not gonna lie to yoga and meditation, that's very underrated, especially for designers. Like just being at peace, because I'm trust me, like I haven't been in the gym in like a month and a half.
Yeah, the other day I had like this pain right here in my neck. It was just horrible, and it's all because of stress. So I had to take a break and like sit down and, you know, watch TV. Oh no. I mean, I usually do that, but it's not fun when you're in pain. But yeah.
That's actually great, because I was going to ask you this question. I totally forgot, but now I got back onto it. How do you deal with like feeling overwhelmed? Because like I was feeling that yesterday, like the other day, like just feeling overwhelmed of like having, even like owning a business, right? You try to figure out where to like go. You figure out if you should do more marketing, or figuring out to like sell products. Or when you don't have clients, like, should you focus on my shop? Like, I'm trying to figure that out, right? Like, when you feel overwhelmed, either what are some things that you do, or like, you know, what are some tips or advice in that realm, I guess? Like,
yeah, it's a good question. I feel like it varies. Sometimes it starts with just laying on the ground, just assessing and like, okay, there's a lot of feelings right now. I do follow like some stretches, yoga stretches on YouTube. I feel like, you know, having your body like focus, because I feel like overwhelm triggers that like fight or flight. So your body really wants to move in a certain way to release them. So I try to like do that with stretches or like, you know, punching the air to get your body like releasing that. Journaling also, it's very good to write out all the things, but most importantly for me has been like doing those steps, either like putting all my thoughts in a journal, stretching and everything, and then just forgetting about it. Because in the moment, like when you're overwhelmed, you cannot think critically or like efficiently or as the best that you can, because your feelings are just like kind of like clogging and like it's very cloudy. But if you know, you write it down, you step away, and then you know, you think, and I'll come back to it, then your brain has time to like decompress and like relax doing something that you like. Honestly, maybe I shouldn't say it in a podcast, but sometimes I do scroll through Instagram so that I don't have to think about it. But that releases a lot of like that pressure, and then I know I can come back with a fresh mind. I mean, I do get really tired even after just scrolling, so I do have to take like an extra break after that break.
Yeah, just like a break from the dopamine hit.
Yes. So it's not like a ideal situation, but sometimes it's like in the moment, like what's gonna help really fast. But then, you know, walks as well, or like, you know, I can't walk right now because of the sun. So maybe other things like just talking to somebody like my mom and things like that. So yeah, that's kind of what I do when I feel overwhelmed, which is sometimes often.
I was about to say, is it normal? Because the fact that it's, I feel kind of comfortable, because it's like, There's so many ways to like either make money or make art or promote your art. And it's like, I don't even know where to start sometimes. Like, I'm just like, that's why I start to feel overwhelmed, because I'm just like, where am I going? What am I doing? And I had a mentor tell me, like, you should try to focus on what would be the most impactful thing that you would do. And I'm still trying to focus on that. But then it's like, I get pulled here. And then I'm like, well, I like doing this, or I like planning, or I'm like, oh, Notion. Like, let me stay in Notion for like a good 5 hours, you know? But it's like the fact that it's normal, I feel so much more comfortable, because I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one that goes through this.
Yeah, it's super normal. Since the beginning, I've been experiencing it, and there's so much to learn. There's so much to do, especially, you know, at the beginning where you're at right now, where after school, I took a whole year. Like, I didn't do much that year. It was 2020. It was a weird year for everybody. I didn't make decisions there. Like, what am I going to be when I grow up? Like, it was just not, I was not there yet. Then slowly I started seeing all my possibilities, and then seeing what I wanted to do. Like I told you about, like the patterns, like I did a lot of patterns at the beginning on my Instagram career. Like I just posted a lot of patterns, and I thought that's what I was going to do alongside with branding. But then I just started to see, okay, I can't do both. Like I can't separate myself and do both right now. So I had to pick one. Like either I do patterns, you know, I dedicate all my energy there, or I do brand identities. So I decided for brand identities, and then thought, okay, this I'll work on it in the future, and then just continue narrowing it down, at the same time trying things out. So for me, it was like narrowing it down, and then, for example, with brand identities, like how many things do I need to know? And then again, narrow it down. What can I learn right now? And not being overwhelmed by all the things, and just picking, you know, taking one step at a time.
Yeah. And I like how you're giving yourself time too. You're like, you know, I'm still going to do it, but I still want to focus on this one thing. And I feel like that's kind of can be the hard part too for like creatives, because it's like, we want to do everything. It's like, you have to figure out what you think would be the most beneficial and will help you move forward, you know?
Yeah. And when you enjoy the most, and I like the word impactful, will be more impactful. Because for me, brand identities will be impactful in business owners. You know, like you impact lives of the business owner and everybody involved with a brand identity. So that felt for me more impactful than patterns. So patterns was much like a passion project for me. So I did want to move towards something that was going to be impactful, not only for me, but for others.
I think that's very like understandable. And that's true. Cause like, that's something too to think about too. Like we are problem solvers, and that can really help other people in other people's lives. And that's kind of a good way to think of it too. Like, how can I help someone else with this?
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of what we're all here. Like we all have our thing that we are good at, and it's great if you can use those, you know, talents to help other people and build each other up, so that we can all kind of just win. Then just creating, I mean, I love patterns and I love buying patterns, and I see value in a dress with patterns, you know, but for me, that was just going to be too superficial for me to invest all my energy at in the first time, you know. So definitely that's kind of how I made the decision, and I think it's amazing that we can impact everybody's life and build that connection.
And do you have any, you know, final advice, I would say, before wrapping up this podcast, as far as any advice for any young designers or even people like me, young creatives still starting out, so either doing their freelance or like even getting out of school, trying to find a job, anything like that, any tips or final advice?
Just know that everybody's going through, you know, similar things as what we were talking about. Don't let perfectionism and imposter syndrome rule your world. There is room for you to rest. There is room for you to create, and there is room for you as an artist. And I think it's important to keep in front of your mind, and yeah, take one step at a time. Don't try to rush things. Comparison is horrible, and you're going to think people's stories are way better than they truly are. And so don't compare, but just build your own story and build your own art and create your own art, and yeah, take one step at a time. I think that's my advice.
Okay. Well, I think that's perfect, because we feel like may need it. Trust me. But all right, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and tune into more podcasts for those coming up. I will leave all of Kayla's information in the description or in the podcast description below. Feel free to reach her out because she is amazing. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy your day, and also remember to do what your art desires.